Alright, so we wanted to discuss the question of Aninus and of Aelis. Particularly that that Aninus doesn't express itself as a mitzvah in its own right. Right, the question we were dealing with the other day. There's no mitzvah of Aninus. There are Isurim of Aninus, like Maaser Sheni and Bikurim and Achilas Kachim and Voda for a Kohen, but there's no mitzvah of Aninus in its own right. Right, so the other question is that if it's just a state, then how is it that the Kohen Gadol can do Avoda? Right? Alright. Alright, so you have in the Torah you have certain types of different kinds of halachic entities. And sometimes in halacha you have what I would call a halachic norm. Okay. In human affairs there are certain norms that we recognize. And halacha as well, in response to these human norms, halacha formulates halachic norms. Let me give you some examples. The simplest, most prevalent, I guess you'd say, is like a bar mitzvah, bar or bat mitzvah. When is a person a gadol? So there's a certain norm. Okay. Of course, it's based on intelligence, maturity, different things, but there's a standard. And halacha takes the norm, okay, and quantifies it halachically. And then we say a person that a boy at the age of 13 and a girl at the age of 12. All right, there's certain other factors involved, but essentially, they are now recognized as adults. Okay. But then they are chayiv in the mitzvahs. That itself is not a mitzvah. You understand? A norm is not a mitzvah, but it's a halachic entity. Right, it's a halachic reality, if you will. Okay, or for instance, a mum. There's a certain idea of certain features that are considered repugnant to people. Okay, that's based on the human condition, and the Torah quantifies or enumerates these mumin. It's not a mitzvah. Again, it's not a mitzvah. But it's a recognized halachic reality based on the norm of mankind. Right? Or shiurim. What's an achila? A guy could be a giant, but an achila would be a kezias. Right? A guy could be starving, an achila would be kezias. So all these things are norms. So we just have to recognize the halacha has to quantify. Halacha is given to people, and it has to have a reality in the human realm, and has to recognize those human norms. But it can't go. You don't go by case by case. You have to have a standard. So it'll take the standard and quantify it. I'm just saying right now that just like there is the reality of a norm in human affairs that everybody recognizes as a baseline, as a standard, okay, halacha also has norms. See, because not everything is standardized. Like I believe, like on Yom Kippur, doesn't it go by like Molly Lugmov? I think it goes by each person's Molly Lugmov. It doesn't. I'm not saying it has to be, but I'm saying there are certain things that just like in human, just like in the, just like to humans there's a norm, to halacha there's a norm. Okay, and of course there is a great benefit in that. Things that have to do with other people, in terms of a system, it makes a lot of sense to have one, to have a standard. Otherwise, it would be enormously difficult to administer. But regardless of the reason, it's what I'm calling a halachic norm. You might be in a place where they don't look down on a unibrow. Maybe everybody has a unibrow, but that doesn't matter. That's still going to be a mum for a coin, right? Doesn't matter. You have to have some sort of norm, certain standard, based, of course, on. It's not pulled out of nowhere. It's based on. So then on these norms, then the halachic base is mitzvos. So you have a baal mum. A baal mum can't be makriv. Or if an animal has a mum, you can't bring it. Right? Or bar mitzvos, chayav and mitzvos. You require an achila, the shira is kizayis. But the norms themselves are not mitzvos. Right? That's just the phenomenon. And then you have I think aninus is a halachic norm. It's a halachically recognized occurrence. It's a halachically recognized event that happens to a person. It's really considered an event. It's an event to the person. Because that's what Aaron said. Vatikrena osi ka'ela. So the Torah recognizes that there are relationships. There are relationships. And because of that, vatikrena osi ka'ela. And because of the relationships, which are very important. I mean, the Rambam goes through a lot in the Tamei Mitzvot, how important relationships are, how important family is. That's the Isser of a Zona, because then you don't know the family anymore. Yeah, he has a lot of halachos over there by Yisur Bia, in terms of the family. Because society is based on, without families, you don't really have a strong society. And you need friends, and family is a bond, is a stronger bond to help people out when they're family. But anyway, so the family unit is a very important thing in society, and halacha endorses it, and it recognizes that that because of that strong bond, there's a natural, normal reaction. But that normal reaction is recognized by halacha in the form of aninus. Okay, the recognition of that norm is that's what aninus is. It is the halacha's quantification of the reaction. Of course, once halacha comes in, it has to quantify it in halachic terms, and it's just tofes the day. It's tofes the zman of the occurrence. But the occurrence itself, it's not a mitzvah, but because, just like not every mum necessarily will have the effect on everybody in every generation in every place, right? But nonetheless, these mumin are considered psulim, so too doesn't matter what a person really feels. And that's the whole idea of a norm. It doesn't matter what the individual feels. Halacha recognizes that in close family relations, the event of the loss of one of them causes a state of grieving for the rest. That's in order, but in order to be a halachic reality, it has to be quantified halachically. It has to be given a halachic definition. Otherwise, it doesn't have a halachic reality. You understand? You can't have mumen. You can't have psule mumen without halacha quantifying what a mum is. And you can't have the recognition of the state of the natural state of the person without halacha quantifying and defining aninus. But that doesn't mean that you have to be sad. It has nothing to do with how you actually feel. It's a definition. It's simply a halachic. It's a halachic norm. I know I'm saying norm a lot, but it's a halachic norm. Okay. Yeah. Now this norm, of course, also generates yisurim. Generate has halachic consequences. That's the reason why the Torah recognizes it. It has in order for it to have halachic consequences in recognition of it, but it is a reality to mankind, and therefore it should have an expression in the halachic system. But in order to have an expression in halacha, it has to be defined. Yeah, you understand what I'm trying to say about that? Might sound a little circular, but Torah is given to man. Because Torah is given to man, and more importantly, well, I don't know, more importantly, but and also these feelings of grieving stem from an institution that the Torah wishes to foster. You understand? The Torah considers close family relationships to be vital to the continuance of the You have the Shvatim, you have Mibesorcha al Tisalem, you have a lot of things, you have a lot of halacha. The philosophy of the Torah is that family is very important. Kibud av v'aim, covered to an ach gadol. There's a lot of importance in the family. So if the strength of the family relationship causes a grieving, you can't say, but we're not going to take the grieving. It's two sides of one coin. There's no way to have one without the other. So we can't ignore that. We can't ignore that. That's the very natural consequence of the strong relationship. So the Torah recognizes the family bond, the importance of the family bond, and quantifies the normal reaction to this occurrence, and then, based on the norm, you're going to be over. You have certain yisurim. It doesn't have to do with how you feel, though. You understand? It doesn't have to do with how you feel. Okay. Now, what is this state? But what is the norm? What is the state that is engendered by this occurrence? What's the state that's generated by this occurrence? So it's interesting. The Gemara says, Gemara in Moed Katan says you can't send a karbon. You can't even send a karbon while you're an onen.
Even in Yisrael.
Even in Yisrael, it can't be mashaleach a karbon. So this is why. On Tesvav and Vez. It says Ovel Einu mashaleach karbonoso. The Tanya, Rav Shimon Omer, Shlomim bizman shu shalem, velo bizman shu onen. Okay, so an onen, it means you feel like you're lacking. You feel like you're missing something. Rashi says your das is daito shalim b'daito. So daito miyusheves alav. You have to have daito miyusheves alav. But when an ovel, the experience, the occurrence of the loss, because the person was in the family structure. Other people's existences are part of the whole structure. It's part of who you are. It's part of your very being. Your brothers, your sisters, your parents, your children. It's not just accidental acquaintances. You know, it's part of who you are. And when one of them is gone, is lost, you're not the same person anymore. Your whole reality is in an upheaval.
In what ways part of who you are?
Your family is part of who you are. Your family is part of who you are. That's why you have two names. You have your first name and you have your family name. It's who you are. It's part. You're a subset of a family. I can't really. I don't want to go into the
sense of identity for the family.
Yeah. It's just your whole. I mean, an orphan is a different type of a person than the person who has parents. It's just a different type of a person. And if you become an orphan, that's a different. There's a transformation. It's an essential transformation. So the person is considered in a turmoil and in grieving. Now it would seem though that this state, that during this state, now that's the occurrence of the misa, really is what affects you. That changes you. For that day, halachically, the norm is saying that for that day, you're in a certain shock. After a day, you start to put yourself back together. But in the first day, there's like a void. The loss creates a void. Getting back to normal is where you start filling the void. But there is a void on the first day.
So it goes by the...
He said, I once heard a tape, heard the Rav on a tape. I can't remember, I think it might have been he gave a series called The Religious Definition of Man. It's interesting, you get a chance to listen to it. Like six lectures he gave in Harvard on Jewish philosophy. The Religious Definition of Man. You ever see that series from the Rav? On tape. I think Nordlich probably has it. I think it was on that series. He spoke about when his father died. He said, like, he couldn't imagine life without his father. You know, he couldn't imagine. It would be a different world to him. A different life. You know what I mean? And he said, when his father actually died, he noticed in himself, though, that although beforehand he thought it would be impossible to go on without him, so there's a slow process of rearranging your life without him. So it's like if a person, you give a mushroom, if a person has a house with furniture in it, and one piece is suddenly missing, so there's a void. But then you slowly have to start rearranging the furniture to make up for that loss, to cover up the loss. You know what I mean? To replace. You can't really replace it exactly, but you have to rearrange what's left in a different way. Everything gets altered because of the lack of one piece, the lack of one individual. To you, of a karov. So I think the experience of aninus is the void. And then afterwards, you're starting to piece things back together. But during that experience of, the event of the aninus, there are two chiyuvim. There are chiyuvim that are chal on the onim, and they're closely related. I don't know if I can define it properly. I can just try to describe it a little. I think that there's an inyan of kavod hames. There's an inyan of kavod hames. To be osek in the kavod hames, that's kvura. Now it's true the Gemara has a question. If a person says, "Don't bury me," do you listen to him or not? And the Gemara says the chakira has to do with whether it's kavod hames or mitzvah. But even if it's not, but that doesn't mean that the mitzvah isn't kavod hames. That just means it's not up to the person. It's a zilzal to have a mace lying around. So it's a zilzal to everybody. It's just it's a bizayon. especially to the person. I mean, that's one thing people don't want. People don't like the thought of their body rotting and decomposing and being eaten. It's a very disturbing thought to people. So there's kavod ames, not to let the person's body rot in the open. That's the meaning of kavod ames.
Fear.
But anyway, but then I think there's also an inyan, is an inyan of zilzal, of a personal, of being mezalzal yourself. There's an inyan on the one hand of kavod to the mace and a zilzal to yourself. Like, to be mitzdayer yourself, to cause yourself to live in a way of total disregard for your own respect. Total disregard for your own being, your own affairs, your own basic necessities. What's that? Does that show up in the natural state? Has to be. It is part of the natural state. It means to say a person's, the loss of the person is like the end of the world for a short amount of time. To you, it's like the end of the world for a short amount of time. That is a normal reaction. But there's more. Now, I'm saying these are the mitzvos. These are not the state anymore. These become mitzvos. Then there are mitzvos now that, because the person is in the state of being totally, he's in the state now where he's roy for these activities that reflect an idea of zilzal, of kavod and zilzal.
So that's what I'm asking about. Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? You're in a state where the tragedy is so great you don't care about your person. And that's a lot of halachas. Like, that's what's, for instance, you don't wear tefillin because tefillin is pe'er. It's totally removed from that type of an experience. Or you're not allowed to eat the Suda Rishona from your own food. That's the Suda Savra. People bring you the first Suda. You can't be concerned with your own meal. And then, of course, you sit in, and then you have, you don't do any malacha. You don't do any work. Even if you're not, you don't do anything. Right? People have to give you tzedakah.
You don't respond to your...
You don't inquire about anybody's well-being. You don't respond to any inquiries about your well-being. You just say, I'm an avil. Right. Like, what's to talk about?
Yeah.
Right?
Which is usually a very basic thing that a person would want to respond to.
But then I think the other things have to do with actually being mezalzel yourself. Like wearing begadim that are torn, sitting on the mita kfuya. I think so. Those are actual. That's more than just not being concerned. That's like expressing, degrading yourself. Like, I don't a certain degraded state. Like the loss is so great to me, I feel like a nothing.
So what is that?
It's interesting. That's like a tsar. There's a certain amount of not caring. That's natural. There's an element of not caring, but then there's an element of tsar. Like I'm in tsar over the person. I don't want to live. I'm mitzdayer myself. I can't define it more. I'm saying avelus. Kavura is, I'm trying to transition over here. I'm trying to say aninus is the norm, is the state that the Torah recognizes. But that's not a mitzvah, that's just the reality of the state. And then the mitzvos are formulated on that state. Okay? And in that state, you have a focus on the mace. There's a certain amount of a focus on the mace. In terms of kavod, and in terms of kavod of the mace, and in terms of zilzal to the self, and tsar to the self, and negation of the self. See, and in that sense, I think that's part of the mitzvah. The Rambam sees that in the mitzvah of the Kohen to be metame. Why? Because why can't the Kohen be metame? Like the Rambam said, kvodo. I mean, the Rambam said that in the Sefer Mitzvahs. And this is this week's parasha. See, the Ramban also says it's an inyan of kavod to the Kohen. The Ramban says... Yeah, he says, the Ramban, he says it a few times in this parakov, yeah. But in the first pasuk, he says, V'tam ha-kohanim, why does it say, Emor lo-kohanim, Ki b'mitzvos asher heim b'inyone ha-karbonos yomar el aron v'albonav. Ramban is very critical analysis over here. He goes through a lot of times in Vayikra, why does it sometimes say el aron v'albonav? Sometimes it says kohanim. It tries to show that there's a reason for each time. So, see, here it says, Emor el ha-kohanim, b'nei Aaron. So he says, because that's when it has to do with korbanos, it says Aaron ve'albonov. But here, there's an isser even not to do with korbanos, even if the guy is not, it's time to go to the mikdash. Right? Avokan yazir shalo yitamu b'meis li'olam, afilu b'eis shalo yavo b'mikdash. The maila lahem ba'atzmam. It's a maila to the Kohanim themselves. Shelo yisnagu. He says, "V'lo hiskir hakosav hakohanim l'chein hiskir hakosav hakohanim leimor ki bavor shehim kohenei Hashem u'mishar se'elokin u'yomar lahem sheyisnagu bekavod u'gedula ba'atzmam v'lo yitamu le'olam." So it's meaning of kavod and gedula. That they should never be mitame. Okay, and he mentions it later also that they're covered. So it's an interesting thing. It's an interesting thing. That even though it's a mitzvah to bury somebody, it's still considered a zilzal on a certain level. So the Kohen should not be mitame himself, because to be mitame himself would be a zilzal to him. It would be a lack in his covered. It would be a lack in his kavod. But over here, that's exactly what the mitzvah is. The mitzvah is to be mezalzel yourself. The mitzvah is to throw off your own kavod, not to be concerned with your kavod. So maybe in that sense, we can modify what we were saying the other day. That maybe it's not necessarily kvura. Right? The mitzvah of being metame, like you were troubled with. But it means to disregard your kavod. Because of the mace, you should disregard your kavod. And for the Kohen to not be tameh, for the Kohen to stay tahor, is an inyan of his kavod. And to see that he should dafka be metameh, of course it has to be in the process of taking care of the mace. Well, I don't know. To be metameh shows you that there's an inyan of recognizing the loss of the mace to throw off your own kavod and to be osik in the kavod of the mace. Just as the Ramban says that the Kohen Gadol, so that's the inyan, that's really one inyan of kvura and avelus. To take his kavod and throw away your kavod. For him. Right. So for everyone else, the kavod is, the kvura is just an inyan of kavod. And the zilzal doesn't occur until after the kavod is. The acts of zilzal and tsar don't come until afterwards. But the Kohen has a special maisa zilzal that's not totally on the.
And that shows the whole category of zilzal.
That shows the whole category. He's metami himself right away. Right, David Rindy saying that's also, you see that's why a Kohen can't do a maisa of being metami, because that's an act of zilzal. To himself. So, even if he's already tummy. Now, but the Kohen Gadol is different. See, the Kohen Gadol is more than just an inyan of kavod. He has an inyan of being lifnei Hashem in the mikdash all the time. Because by the Kohen Gadol it says he can't be metame himself. Even for this krovim. Why? Because he says, because he has a din of Ela Mikdash Lo Yetzei, right? That's a lav. Rambam counts it. That's the lav of leaving.
You can't walk out of the premises?
That's only during Shas Avodah. But see, the Ramban says, what's the Isser for the Kohen Gadol? He says, the Ramban on that pasuk, in the Mikdash Lo Yetze. He takes issue with Rashi, but he says like this. Aval yiye kavod hamikdash va'avodoso gadol olav mikavod hames va'avoso oso. See, the norm doesn't apply to the Kohen Gadol. That's what the Torah is saying. Saying that family is a very important thing. Family is a very important thing, and that's the basis of society. And a Kohen is a regular. The Kohen has the basis of society, but he has a special designation. He has a designation as a different group. Okay, but the Kohen Gadol is more than that. The Kohen Gadol is designated as an Oved in the Mikdash. That's his designation. That's his primary designation. Is for Avodas HaMikdash. Kavod HaMikdash and Avodas HaMikdash. He's really an Eden of Kavod HaMikdash, because he's the designated Oved in the Mikdash. The regular Kohen, when he's not Bishas Avodah, still is not Machal himself. That's an Eden of Kavod HaKohen. So for the Krovim, he is Metame. It's an interesting thing. The Rambam in the Mora on 369 in the Friedlander, right?
Yeah.
So he says, he explains about Tumah for the Kohen. He says, as uncleanliness caused by a dead body could only be removed after 7 days by means of the ashes of the red heifer, and the priests had constantly occasion to enter the sanctuary, the law exceptionally forbids them to defile themselves by a dead body. Except in cases where defilement is necessary and the contrary would be unnatural. For it would be unnatural to abstain from approaching the dead body of a parent, child, or brother. So he's saying it recognizes that. The Torah recognizes the natural psychological state of man. It says, as it was very necessary, the high priest should always be in the sanctuary, in accordance with the divine command, and it shall always be on his forehead. He's talking about the tzitz. He was not permitted to defile himself by any dead body, whatever, even of the above named relatives. A little different than what we're saying here, but. Mace mitzvah is what he says. That's why he puts two things: necessary and unnatural. Necessary, he can't. Is necessary. There's nothing you can do about it. But so that's what I'm trying to say over here. Since we're saying it's only a norm, so it's a norm. It's a normal state of affairs that the person should be in. So a regular kohen is defined by it. He's defined by it. He has that chalal shem. And that will prevent them from being Oved in the Mikdash. It has nothing to do with your personal ability to overcome or not overcome. It has to do with the shame of an Onain. And since it would be unnatural for him not to, the shame of an Onain is chal on him and prevents him from being Oved in the Mikdash. But the Kohen Gadol, is in this respect, his main relationship is to the Mikdash.
He's not really his own person.
He's not his own person. Regular Kohen, his relationships are defining him. His family relationships still define him, and he operates in that realm. And the aninus is a norm, a reality to him, based on that norm, and will just prevent him from being able to do the activities of avodah. Okay? But the Kohen Gadol is different. The Kohen Gadol, because of his position, his main allegiance is to the Mikdash. A regular person has an allegiance to his family, which is vital. And the Torah will not disrupt that. Like the Ram says, it would be unnatural to disrupt that. That would be an undoing of the whole system of family, to disrupt that. But the Kohen Gadol, the way he exists is that to him, it's an exceptional person. One exceptional person. Ram says, the Ramban says he's like a Malach Hashem. He's an exceptional person. And to him, he is on the level that he has to forego the covet of his family for the covet of the mikdash. That's what the Ramban says. That's the essence of the mitzvah. Yihyeh kavod hamikdash v'avodaso gadlo lav mikavod hameis v'avaso oso. V'kol she'kein she'im meiniach avodaso lelo davar. So if he leaves during the avoda, he's chayav misa. It's interesting. The Ramban brings down that there is a machlokus about when what we were discussing with the Rambam, about if it's only the avoda that he's in. The big is like a five way machlokus. I'm thinking the Yerushalmi brings down. If it's only the one he's in, or can he start a new one, or if he thought about starting one. You know, like three different levels. I think one says it's dafka the avoda he's in. The other one says as long as he was planning on doing an avoda, he can do it. And the other one says that he can even do something he hadn't thought about before. But it's just because there is still, it's only while he has that shame of an oved, because the whole issur is only during avoda. So that's we're getting out of that whole problem of you see, last time we were discussing the issue. We were treating it like a real reality. Then you get stuck in all these problems. Now we're treating it as a halachic norm. Right? It's a halachic norm. It's a shame that is chal on you because of a norm. But the only thing is, the Kohen could be prevented from engaging in that norm because of a higher designation that he has. He can't succumb to that norm. But that's only b'shas avoda. When he's not b'shas avoda, he still has it. It's only because there can never be anything that is greater than kavod hamikdash and kavod Hashem. So since he is the oved in the mikdash, as an oved, he cannot forsake his essential definition of an oved. If he would forsake his avoda, then he would be, since he's defined as the oved par excellence, that would be saying that there's something more important in a particular case. There's something more important than avoda. That he can't do. But achilas kachim is not an avoda. Unify. I'm trying to say that. See, and that's why avela is going back to the avela. That's why avela is only yom rishon. Notice it's when the person is in this state of the occurrence, when he feels the void, he's in that state of the gavra. Then the actions really are reflective of the mace. Then the actions are reflective of the mace. Then they're in response to the state that he's in. They're in response to the reality of the loss of the mace. That starts to seal itself up after a day. We say 3 days. We say really there are 3 days you're in Bechi. But only the first day. Does it seem like this? The first day is the void. 3 days of Bechi is putting yourself back together. And then Shiva is adjusting to that new state. I would have to... But that's just a drush right now. So, one second, what were we just talking about? Yeah, so the aninus is the state, and then in that state, now you can have ma'aseh kavod. See, that's why the haruge based in are not roy for that kavod. You're still in aninus. You still are in that state of shock and loss because they're not rishayim. I mean, they had tshuva, but since they have no kapara, they're not roy for those ma'aseh. They're not roy for the ma'aseh kavod and zilzal. I just wanted to bring one raya. that tsar is a covered hames, that the individual tsar is a covered hames. Okay. Because you could say, no, how do you know that tsar is a covered hames? Right? You always say something like that. So I show you halacha, it's a strange halacha, if you can find another way to answer it, it wouldn't be a riot. But I have a hard time understanding any other way to understand this halacha. Let's take a look over here on Perek Hilchos Evel. Perek, I think it's Yud Aleph. No, it's Yud Beis. A hesped covered a mesu. Okay, the hesped is covered a mesu. Hesped is covered a mesu. Now, who do you give a hesped for? How old does a child have to be to give him a hesped? Right, so the Rambam says in Perek Tes. Halacha Tes. Ein maspid nesakatanim. You don't give a hesped on the cotton. Uben kama shonim yihye roi lehesped? How old? You're never going to get the answer. Because there are two different ages. Bnei aniyim or bnei zekenim ben chamish. If the child is the child of an ani or an elder, then it's 5 years old. Bnei ashirim, bnei shesh. What kind of a thing is that? So what is the difference between a ben ashir and a ben ani? So Rashi explains. Let's guess the Mishnah. Yeah, Rashi, Kesef Mishnah was Rashi. Sheha'oni mitztayer al bon of Yoser mea Osher. Vifi she'ein lo simcha acheres. An Ani is more mitztayer on his child than an Osher. Because he doesn't have anything else. So that means what? So therefore, he attaches himself even very strongly to the younger child. But what does that mean? But what does that mean about a hesped? What does that mean about hesped? I mean, memarshach, if the hesped is about the person, so if the hesped is about the person, and you say a child's not ready to give a hesped on because there's not enough to talk about, or whatever you're going to say, so there should be one age, it should be a measure of the niftar. Right? What's the shear in the niftar? So you see that what? That the kiyum of the hesped is the tsar of the ovel. And since the ani is mitztayer more, so then even on a younger child he can be maspid. But the usher is not mitztayer enough on the younger child. Can't be maspid. So you see that even though the Rambam says hesped is covered on mace, I'm making a bit of a leap. I'm making a little bit of a jump here, right? But I'm saying the covered ames is the tsar of the ovel. Mm-hmm. It's not a terribly big jump,
no.
Right? That, right? If you're going to learn that the hesped is covered ames, and the covered ames is saying nice things about the mace, so then there should just be a question: how old is the child before you can start talking nicely about them? What's the difference if he's a ben ani or a ben asher? Right? So, and the Rashi says the difference is the tsar of the parent. So that's what I'm saying, that the tsar is part of the kiyum of the hesped. The covered ames is that you're mitztayer over him. That's the covered ames. And in that context, I'm saying all the acts of Avelis are partake of that. No choice. Interestingly enough, there's another person who has to pull himself out of it, and that's the Nazir. Rambam mentions the Nazir also. The Nazir, for on a temporary level, dedicates himself completely to an idea of Avodas Hashem. So he also is not metame for anybody, right? Designation is the Kohen Gadol really is like almost like an extension of Mikdash.
I mean the regular Kohen.
The regular Kohen is a group, is a shevet that has a distinction. It's a shevet with a distinction. And that distinction is to be recognized and respected and fostered. Ramos, you can't be Cohen can't be mochel on his own covered. Right? I know you're wondering where all your covered is. I know, but really, there's a lot of covered due to a Cohen, right? It's not just we make you bench. because the Kohen headyard is really, it's his kavod. That's what I'm trying to say. It's a kavod for the Kohen. Okay, but that kavod of the Kohen comes from his family, from his yichus. So to be mezalzel in that covered because of his own mishpacha is natural. That's not an affront to that covered.
That's where it comes from.
But the covered of the Kohen Gadol is the mikdash. The covered of the Kohen Gadol is the mikdash. Strangely enough, there's no mitzvah to appoint the Kohen Gadol.
You just have to have one.
You have to have one. Apparently, like, there's no separate mitzvah on all the kalim of the mikdash. It would seem there's no mitzvah. There's not a mitzvah in every kli.
Right.
It would seem it's part of what the mikdash is. Mikdash must have a kohen gadol.
You have to have
the shem and a mishcha. That's the closest mitzvah you get. To have the shem and a mishcha because the kohen gadol needs it, and to anoint and to use it when you anoint him. But it doesn't have an actual tzivoy. I couldn't find anywhere in the Ram a tzivoy limnos kohen gadol.
It would be part of the mitzvah of.
That's right. It would seem so. It would seem so. I mean, and that's why only he can go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. That means that he's the real occupant of the Mikdash. He's the true occupant of the Mikdash. He doesn't have a limitation. Of course, there are rules when he can, but the fact that he can go in there shows he's the true occupant. Any other Kohen goes in there, he's Chayav Misa. Okay, but this is all the ideas of Aninus and Avelus Midoraisa. Another time we'll have to discuss what are the ideas of Avelus Midrabanan. Okay?